Reverse logistics. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines reverse logistics as a complete supply chain dedicated to the reverse flow of products and materials for the purpose of returns, repair, remanufacture, and/or recycling. Reverse logistics is a significant cost for organizations, in part because returns come from many places, but in relatively small amounts compared to the forward supply chain. The assortment is irregular, so there are relatively high transportation and materials handling costs to return the items to inventory, recover useful components, or recycle them. Reverse logistics is therefore a significant expense that can reduce profits unless proactively planned and managed as its own supply chain separate from the forward supply chain. Many organizations simply sell all returned goods to third parties and/or outsource the reverse supply chain to organizations that have this as a core competency. We start therefore with reverse logistics goals and policies, then discuss some subtypes of reverse logistics, and conclude with a reverse logistics process. Reverse logistics goals and policies. Reverse logistics needs to be developed as a sound strategy rather than an afterthought. The place to start is to define reverse logistics goals and related organizational policies. Development of reverse logistics goals starts by understanding customer expectations for returns, repairs, and so on. Expectations may be based on what is common for the industry, but competitors may have different strategies, so the organization may choose different goals in this area. A low-cost provider may have a goal of minimizing the cost of reverse logistics, such as by accepting only defective items, while a differentiation strategy provider may use more comprehensive reverse logistics as a point-of-service differentiation. The organization then creates policies that will help ensure that reverse logistics fulfills these goals. Policies may include the following. Policies may ensure regulatory compliance, for example, by enabling acceptance of products for recovery of hazardous or scarce components or materials. Compliance with product recall guidelines is another example. Policies may deal with product return acceptance, including what reasons for return will be allowed. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition of returns includes possible reasons. A step in the reverse logistics process, when a customer sends a product back for any of several possible reasons, including the product being defective, damaged, out of season, or outdated, end of life, because it failed to meet expectations, or because it represented excess inventory. Returns for each of these reasons may or may not be allowed. Returns could also be denied for certain items or for clearance items. How the returns should be made and who pays for return transportation, and for repairs, transportation back to the customer. How returns will be requested and authorized. A return material authorization, RMI, form may be needed, which requires sign-off by a responsible party. Warranty policies and periods may be set to encourage sales while ensuring that the additional expenses involved are not greater than the additional revenues. These policies, plus organizational decisions related to product quality, will impact the volume and frequency of returns and the type of reverse logistics network that will be needed to handle that volume. The policies need to be communicated to customers before the purchase. Reverse logistics types. Types of reverse logistics include returns, repairs, remanufacture, and recycling. Returns and repairs may require authorization, and who pays for shipping should be specified. Remanufacture involves buying back used goods or offering a discount on a refurbished item. The used goods are reprocessed with some new components and sold as remanufactured products. For example, Caterpillar does this for industrial vehicles. Rework is a similar process, but the term is usually applied to new products that did not pass inspection. Recycling can be done to recover rare or dangerous materials, which is sometimes called green reverse logistics. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines this as a reverse logistics strategy that reduces the environmental impact of end-of-life returned items through the recovery and recycling of materials and packaging. This practice includes mandatory programs such as the European Union's laws requiring manufacturers to take back certain electronics at no cost to the consumer. Reverse logistics can also be used to return reusable packaging. Alternately, packaging from incoming materials may simply be reused to package outgoing products. Reverse logistics process. The reverse logistics process can be initiated by the ultimate customer or by a supply chain partner, such as a distribution center returning products that were defective or damaged or seasonal goods that did not sell, if allowed by contract. Therefore, the backward flow may start from the manufacturer, the distributor, the retailer, or the customer, depending on who is making the return. Upstream product flows may result in asset recovery or the forwarding of returned products to the manufacturer slash supplier or beyond. Organizations may require returns to be authorized using a process with particular rules based on avoiding return costs while maintaining a desired level of customer service. Liberal return policies can increase sales, but reverse logistics costs can also be significant. In some cases, the goods can be resold, but they may need new packaging or repairs. Exhibit 5-34 illustrates one possible design for the reverse logistics process. Exhibit 5-34, reverse logistics example. The steps in this process are as follows. Step 1, the product is retrieved. The mechanism for retrieval must be considered in product design. This allows the costs of reverse logistics to be included in product costing. The design and packaging can also support the return. Customers may be provided with directions to return specific parts. They may be provided with postage paid shipping cartons or directions for arranging pickup. Step 2, the product is transported to a receiving center. Transport may or may not be at the customer's expense. The receiving center may be the supplier, the manufacturer, the distributor, or the retailer. It may also be a third party. For example, a customer may be directed to return a defective product to a third party who has contracted with the manufacturer to handle return goods. Step 3, the product is logged in, inspected, and sorted. The data collected at this point can be used for reporting purposes. For example, weight of material recycled, monetary value of donations, warranty obligations fulfilled. Step 4, the product is handled according to an established disposition protocol.